bound prayer. Father, we're so thankful that we can come together in this church, and Lord, any church. Thankful for this country, and it breaks our hearts, Lord, to see what's happening in our country. I love America. I love so many things about her. I love our history. I love your hand upon her in so many frightful and desperate situations and moments, and you just came in and you delivered. I love our documents so much. I love our founders and how they've based so much of their philosophy and their writings on your word. And Lord, it's tragic to see such modern takes on trying to sever us from those wonderful roots that you provided for this country. And God, it breaks my heart. It absolutely devastates me. But Lord, in the passing time, we can't just be loyal or faithful to a particular plot of land or government. Lord, we're marching to Zion. And Lord, as much as I love America, and she has been a light on a hill, a shining city on a hill for so many around the country, around the world rather, for so many years. Lord, there's another country that even Abraham was looking for.
Amen.
Lord, there is a country not made with hands, not made with human hands. Lord, with a holy holies that you entered into with your blood, you purchased our passage to that land with your own blood. And Father, in this meeting tonight and this week, we so need your Spirit to imbue us with a new anointing of the Spirit of God, a new zeal to be faithful to the things that remain. As many things change around us, and they're tragic as they are, but Lord, as many things change around us, help us to hold fast to that which remains.
Yes.
And be faithful, and be courageous and dedicated going forward, Lord, to the things that you honor. Not just what we honor, but what you honor. Break our hearts, Lord, and fill us. Make us what you want us to be. We love you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Whoa. Just stand there a second. See that man there? We had him in a couple of months ago. We have a program here where we have a man of God come in and tell us how he profited by being in Christ Jesus. Never before have we been so far where the recording just went crazy, couldn't even catch. But our hearts will never be the same. When that man, there was a move of God.
Yes, sir.
I'd only met him, and God showed me this man. There's a touch of God on him. God showed me that. It's my honor that you came in here. It's my honor you're here tonight, Father.
I love you.
God bless you. Amen.
Yes, sir. Appreciate that very much.
Brother Donnie is preaching. Why is Brother Donnie preaching twice already? Talk to God about it. God said yesterday. Amen.
The more this meeting goes on, the more the men that I meet that he's invited here, I get to say, "Boy, what in the world am I doing standing in the room with these fellows?" And I mean that. After that, what you said, brother. I don't know what to say.
Reach, bro.
I just and when you begin, I think that I've done changed messages 15 times. And I went outside. When I got out, they got me an opportunity to go out there and grab another out of the car. And I said, "Man, what did I preach?" And I want to stay with what God is trying to do with us. And If the Lord will, I want to preach on the touch of God. I don't feel able to do that. I want to preach on the spirit of fear, or the fear to draw the sword. That's what has really been on my heart a lot. Let's pray. God, you know how earnest everybody's been about this meeting and these preachers that come with an earnest heart and an earnest spirit to follow you, and also to cause these young people to seek after you and show the desire to have God in their life. And so what a great thing that you'd even do that here in this midst in the time we're in. That you'd even set a space, a little place for us. Lord, when the president went in, Trump went into office, I made the statement, he's given us a space of grace for our country. And God, tonight, as you have directed me and brought me to this place, I pray, oh God, that I would do what you want me to do and say what you want me to say. You know all the studies and all the years of the things that I've written and looked at. But God, I go back to those days when I began, when I could not even stand unless you were there. And I could feel your presence in my heart when I preach. And I'd be consciously aware of you. And I see that to be happening if I'll just yield to you. So I pray, Lord, as I sit at this place and you give me the privilege to be able to preach to these young people and these preachers that's been in places with you. So help me right now, God, and I would preach what you want. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Donnie's going to take a moment to change the batteries in your mic there.
All right. All right, I'm going to go over and stay with what the Lord is trying to work with me. Let's go to the book of Judges, please. The book of Judges. And in chapter 8, and if you would, let's reverence the Word of God, if you could, and stand as we read. I'll begin reading in verse 18. And then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they, each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye have saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. And this is where I want to preach. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared, because he was yet a youth. And then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise thou and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. You can be seated. Is it ready now? Every time I say ready now, I was a Ranger in Vietnam in the 67, 68 Tet Offensive. And our statement to all the generals and the captains when they come up to you, you say, ready now, sir.
Amen.
Ready now. And I would like to say, young people come up, a lot of times, you know, you go into stores now and I'm gonna be real controversial out here. Hope it don't make you mad. And they come up to me and they'd say, I wanna thank you for serving in our country. You know, and I look at them and I say, young people, you don't owe me no thanks. I said, go up there and get Jane Fonda and bring her down here and say thank you.
Yeah.
You say, what does that mean? You said in the deep, dark jungles of Vietnam, and here comes this little old radio out of Hanoi, and she's on that radio, and you're out there fighting for America, and all of a sudden she's telling you, oh, you all not be there, and you all not go on, and she's up there with Ho Chi Minh, up there with Hanoi, and there's the soldier out in that jungle with that little portable radio, and he's giving his life for his country, and he's fighting for his country, and she's up there saying that. I said, what you need to do, Jay? Put you on pot, man!
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
you're right.
I told you to be a little controversial, man.
You're right.
Why they call it Hanoi?
When our government, I don't want to preach it politically, I want to preach about the Lord.
Amen.
You don't need another hero.
Right.
Man.
You don't need another football star.
Right. That's right.
I'm on.
You know? I used to tell all them young people, I said, you don't need to worry about, I know I haven't spoken about Vietnam in all my ministry, just recently. Constantly, I mean recently. That's all everybody talks about. But you need Jesus.
Yeah. 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 Amen.
But you need a hero in your life. Ought to be Christ.
Yeah.
The one that you ought to raise up all the time ought to be Jesus.
Yeah.
When I got saved, I forgot about all my heroes. And I got the bronze star. I was made a staff sergeant in less than a year and field promotions from death to men. But when I got rid of that money, I put it on the side. Started talking about a great man, a wonderful man, a man that I met one day in a church house. When I went into that pastor study, my daughter had called me. I was going to play my golf game on a Sunday. I was fixing to play. I played ball all year. I used to run, flying a jet of Governor Butcher ran for governor of Tennessee. We flew in his jet from California to Cleveland, Ohio, played ball, everything. Winter time, we worked out on weights, played golf. My little daughter came in there one morning, about 12 years old. Now, boy, I was going to fix the goal. She come in there and she said, Daddy, I want to be saved.
Amen.
Hey,
amen.
I was wicked as a dog. I looked at my wife, I said, what'd you do, put her up to it so I'd go to church? I didn't say a thing to her. So I said, where's the Bible here somewhere? I had enough Bible as a little boy. You know, my daddy was a Baptist deacon, soul winner. He'd pray on the mountaintops. He'd get up on top of the hill. He'd pray all night long. My mama was going to die. She was going to die from surgery. She was going to die. Daddy went out that night. It was right on a Saturday. Went up on top of the hill. Got to pray and prayed all night long. Then he come down off that hill that next morning acting like I do. He had that little old handkerchief doing like that. He walked in our mama's bed and he didn't say, I think so. I'm going to. God said, you'll be all right, Jesse. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He said, everybody said, don't. God said, you'll be all right. Don't worry. He got so close to God that when he didn't say, maybe, I think so, he said, God said, you'll be all right. Well, down the road, guess what? She's all right.
Amen.
Guess what? She went on. She outlived him.
Wow.
And I just, the way I was raised, I thank God for it. Some of you young people, you'll thank God for this meeting.
Right?
On down the line, you'll thank God that you got to be in a place where preachers are at.
Yes, sir.
Where the Holy Ghost is trying to work in your heart. You'll thank God for that down the road. I ran that morning, I got with my daughter. I looked at her. I said, well, okay, I'll go to church.
Amen.
They'll come the game down there, all the boys and all the men. They're down there waiting on me getting a golf club to go down and play golf. I looked at them and I said, hey, boy, what are you doing, Harp? I'm going to church. You are? Okay, we'll see you. But he carried you. We'll see you. I went into the church that Sunday morning. Now, I already had a profession of faith as a boy at 12 years old. You know, we went to the church, you know, they all thought Donnie was saved. This wasn't a good Southern Baptist church. You go there, they may know whether you're saved or not. Right? Yeah. Well, yeah, we got them too. So I went in there and we went out and he said, go in to study, and she's going to talk to Buffy. She's 12. She's now married to a preacher, got six kids.
Amen.
She got barefooted babies and biscuits all the way down. She's got her ride, buddy. She's got her ride.
Yes.
Barefoot is Mary. Baby is by her children. The third miss has got the house. That is the mess biscuit.
Yeah.
I taught you to learn how to make biscuits. And she can make biscuits, buddy. And she stayed barefooted, amen. And she also bore babies, the six of them. And they're a blessing, buddy. You talk about a blessing, well, I'm going to get on something else, amen. Hey, you talk about something good. If you raise up a family that loves God and honors God, you'll get the blessing of your life, buddy. That'll be the most wonderful thing you ever had. That's my baby up there singing. And they're glorifying God. And they're honoring the Lord. And mama would just shout it all over the place. You say she was a little, a partial one. My goodness, it was her kids.
Right?
What do you think? So I went to church. I don't ever preach messages, brother. I just do this and we go home. Go study all the time. Get the best looking messages I ever seen, buddy.
Stop your speech and start preaching.
I know it. Hey, we'll get together after a while. I bet you all be out.
Amen.
We got over there with that parish preacher, you know. He sat at his desk, he was right before Sunday school. He said, now he was talking to Buffy, she was just a kid. Talking about Jesus and this little girl. He didn't get down and, bless God, Buffy, you all get saved. She's a little girl. She don't know the depths of sin like some of you do.
Right.
Like you, man, they had to plow your corn, buddy.
Yes, sir.
They had to plow your corn, boy. They dug in with you, didn't they? Dug in with you, buddy.
Yes, sir.
But you won't do your little kid. And get harder in these rough. And he said, over there, he said, now, Donnie, you bow down over and pray for Buffy as she gets saved. Ah, man, I ain't been in church. Take this for fish. And brother, I bow down. Guess who I bet?
Amen.
I bow down. I never thought another thing about Buffy. When I got down on my knees, I started praying about Donnie.
Yeah.
I didn't start praying about Buffy. That's not what I said. God, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me the way I am. My sin. God forgive me. I think that I was getting, I was just getting right with God. I was getting saved.
Yeah.
I was getting saved, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that till afterwards, because all the things become new.
Yeah.
After I got up on my knees, after I got up from that point, that place, that where you know that God did something in your heart.
Amen.
They'll know the place.
Yes,
amen. Well, from that moment on, guess what I started doing? Following Jesus.
Right.
Ain't that crazy, old boy? I mean, I started following Christ. I mean, oh, I didn't follow the preacher and all that stuff. I followed Christ. What the preacher does, he's directing you toward him.
Right.
He's going to tell you who he is.
Mm-hmm.
You just know something happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
You say, I don't know what happened. I was there when that day. Said, I don't know what you're saying, but I was there when it happened. I know what happened.
Buffy
gets
saved.
Yeah. No, Buffy didn't get saved.
She didn't get saved?
Well, you know, she confessed, you know.
Okay.
You know, and say that. I didn't tell her she saved. Jesus said, yeah, I would take Jesus saved this time. You know what? Turn around and say, no. She said, yes, I don't know. But she didn't get it. You can't tell her what she's got. You can't tell her she's got it. You can't tell her she ain't got it.
Amen.
Right.
She's a young man. Live right. Honor God. Not aware of that. All down through the year. Good girl, wouldn't disobey. But she was 16 years old when she got saved.
Praise the Lord. Right.
She'd come home from school, Brother John. She had her own car, you know, all girls that had their car. Well, she was going to high school, she's a public school. You know, a public school. And she'd come home every evening. We lived in a big residential section. After I started preaching, you know, you lost everything. So anyway, you know, we lived big time when I first did. I knew all the boys, knew where the money's at, knew everybody I could get. I just had you had it, you know what I mean? After I got sober, but you lost it all, you know. You know why they do? They don't have money no more.
Because
you know they're crooks.
Right.
You know what they do. You know that the big shot downtown got all the money. He know how to do it. You know what? You're going to starve to death, Brother Harvey. I said, if I do, I won't let you know.
Yeah.
He's a big real estate man. I ain't preaching. So she came home one day. She just kept going down there on that dock, and she'd sit down there on that dock. She'd just look out over that water. She'd come in the house and I just watch her. And you got to go over there. She'd go back in her bedroom. Sit in her bedroom. Get up the next day, go to school. Watch her for I don't know how long it was. She'd just come back in and I'd watch her. My study was right underneath her bed. Don't you think I didn't call her name out every night? Right under that bedroom. Get right there so I don't forget you. She said, Dad, it wasn't you telling me what to do and everything else and preaching to me. It said it was your praying. I couldn't.
Amen.
I couldn't take your praying down of that same buffing, God.
Praise
touch
the Lord.
Her life, Lord.
Right.
Get in her heart, God. Help her, God. Help her. She said, it wasn't I was going to do right. I was going to do right. I'm getting with her. You know what I mean? I was going to walk right and let other people, other kids, and come home with her. Because you can't do nothing to your house. You know, and she said that they wouldn't come home with her. That's when she lost. None of them would come. You know, he ain't going to do that around here. Now I'm up beside back a long time ago, open the door of my house. For me and my house, we'll serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And tell you what, you're going to make that house God's praise. And those kids going to under it. And if they're taught right, preached to right, lived right, they'll respect it. Amen. They'll do right as far as that's concerned. And one day they'll make God to get Jesus. So, she come home one night. She went in her bedroom. She bowed down at that bed. She said, Lord, I'm lost.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Sweet. I mean, you went, she went in the depths of sin. She's a good girl. She's a teenager now. And she made the statement. She said, Lord, I'm lost. Come in my heart.
say that we got to forgive. She'll be good. Mm-hmm. But she must be born again.
Yes.
Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Right.
Amen.
Do I enter in the womb and come out again? No. That man's born of water, born of light, that born of the Spirit, born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you must be born again.
Amen.
A lot of people try to say, well, Nicodemus, why God say? I think he got, this is my opinion. Some of you can argue theology with me here on this. No, I don't argue with you, but this is what I think. I think that he went out there and pulled him down off that cross. When he looked up to bring him down, Jesus said this to him over in John 3, as the Son of Man must be lifted up in the wilderness. As the Son lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man must be lifted.
Yes, sir.
No, Nicodemus lifted up, and them scriptures started running through his heart.
Right.
He's lifted up. That's him. Right. And he must be lifted up.
Amen.
And he does. And I said, he looked up. That's him. That's him. And he took him down. Amen. And he buried him. But I believe Nicodemus got it when he looked up and saw Jesus dead on the cross for his sin. Giving his blood for his sin. He got born again. He got born again. It already been religious. It already been spotlessly white. It already been. He was a great man, but he never had the Holy Ghost. So you can be wretched, wicked, vile, mean, got big shoulders, and I wouldn't pick on you for nothing. I preach to people like you. They'd wait on me outside the door. They'd be waiting on me. No, I'd be good at preaching about the Lord. You know, they get a little mad. What are you mad about? I didn't hurt you. And one man down in Alabama when I was preaching that night. I did preach some of the Bible that night. A little bit anyway. He was outside waiting on me. And just happened, I stayed in there a while talking to everybody. He got tired of waiting, went out the door. So that next night, I come in there, brother, and I promise you. I sit down on that front seat, and I had my bottle in my hand. And I looked at it, and I said, God, can't you save again? God, won't you save? Holy Ghost said, read the first chapter of John. I got up, Brother Williams, and I just opened up and started reading the first, I just started reading. Son is powerful. The more I read, the more it got powerful. I'm reading that word of God. I just reading. I didn't say nothing. I didn't say nothing, boy. The powerful work of the word of God. That's why Brother Sammy Allen's so powerful. He don't do nothing but quote the word of God. He'll quote 200 or 300 verses as he's going on and preaching. He'll quote this one. He'll quote that one. He'll put them all together and give you a message out of them. He'll rightly divide the Bible. He'll correctly study the word. And he'll quote this and quote that. And the word of God is the power, not the man, not anything. It is. It's that precious, powerful word of God. Amen. That's why I get out of conviction telling stories.
Amen. Amen.
I sit there and I read that. I mean, it was powerful. It's closing my Bible. I said, okay, God said, come. Got an invitation, 8 of them got saved. Started coming to the altar, getting saved. Guess who one of them was? It was that old boy. That old boy got on that altar. He got up and looked at me and said, Brother Harvey, I hated you and I wanted to get you last night, but I want to tell you I love you tonight.
Yeah.
I love you with all my heart. I love you tonight. Amen, amen. The only reason you can love anybody now is because of the love of God. If you look at that old person, get it out, man. And start you, baby, it's still there. That's still there. That old nature is still there. The only thing that you've got to do as you get saved is manifest the power of the Holy Ghost living in your
to live that life. He enables you to be able to say those words. He enables you. You can't do it in yourself. It takes God to get you to do whatever you want to do.
Right.
You can't do anything without Him.
Amen.
Good preaching, brother.
You can try all you want to try. You find out He's the one to do it. You know what they blessed me? I appreciate him. Thing. Good preaching. I appreciate the testimony and everything else. She blessed me. You say she did. You didn't see her. She just looking at him and crying. She was watching you just to cry. I said, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good, boy. She then looked at him, just cried and cried. I said, that's good. That's good. There's so many in this room right now that you're in the birth chamber.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
Sir.
And it might be just a little innocent kid.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. You know? And you don't tell them they're saved, and you don't try to discourage them about sins.
Mm-hmm.
You just tell them about Jesus.
Yep.
Amen.
Right. And that you see.
Right.
My granddaughter, when she got saved, I ain't no preacher. Well, you know, you know, all you fellas done to testify. You never, you know, a lot of messages to me where you get it. Hey, I won't tell my granddaughter. The greatest thing tonight is the liberty and the closeness of God in us tonight.
Amen.
Yes, thank you.
And that we could sit together and love each other. The marks of a New Testament church is love.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Loving one another.
Mm-hmm.
Love one another.
Right.
Love them in this condition they're in. Whether they're small in the faith, we have a problem or they're great, you know. What they got to do is take care of the pride. I'm such a great preacher. You know, and I get you need to come down. Don't worry, God will bring you down. You can't instruct pride. God deals with it.
Right.
You can instruct all you want to. Get at it the way you get rid of it. He'll deal with you. So, he'll knock the pride out of it.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yeah.
Right.
He knows how to do it, Tony preacher.
Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm talking about my granddaughter's salvation now, okay? Have a tent meeting. Guess who I had preaching?
Amen!
Tammy Adams, some of y'all know. Back in his younger days. Back, well, he would probably be in his 70s or 60s then. You know, sister, my wife said, don't take your eyes off of him. Just keep looking at him. Now don't look down, because he gets you.
Yes,
he gets you.
Yes,
he's
looking
at
him.
And then he'll nail the very thing that you got. He take my daughter and he's saying things to her, he just sitting there talking to her, you know. We go on and say, Betsy, tell me what I've been doing. I said, I didn't say nothing.
Amen.
And he get to preaching along. And all of a sudden you just see that. Looks up there and says, fix him to get in the door.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll look around, buddy, and he'll get to quote those scriptures and they'll be fire. So one night, after he got saved that night, one of my little granddaughters was one of them. A little bitty thing. And she went to the altar, Mrs. Buffy's now. She's there praying, everybody else on the altar. You know, everybody's on the altar. I believe in the altar, don't you?
Yes,
believe in the altar?
Amen.
I believe
believe in the altar. I know a lot of them don't believe in the altar. I believe in the altar. Don't you preachers? I believe in the altar. I know there's an altar in your heart. I realize that. And you can make an altar out in the woods. I know that. But I believe on the altar in the church.
Amen. Yes.
And when the church starts using the altar, you're fixing to go somewhere.
Amen.
Buddy.
Amen.
When you start staying on that altar, that church is fixing to do something, buddy. Every time the preacher says, you say, I don't have nothing there, Brother Sam, just come up here and get it. You'll find out.
Right.
You say, hey, I'm doing it. Just come up here and get some. I bet the Lord will show you.
Yeah.
Guess on you. You don't have to guess. You can get me up here and he'll show you. So Jessica, as I say, she's a piano player for the church right now, 37 years old, and she's doing real good on barefoot and baby. She's got three boys, and she can even cook biscuits. And she's a gold cord. She went to UT, finished music at UT, won gold cords at UT, never made less than a 4 point in all time. She was a humanitarian award when she went to all the colleges. And she's the sweetest thing you ever seen. And you know, when I said, them babies will make you a mom. Them babies will make you what you need. Because before she had those babies, you know, she had all that right kind of way, you know. But when you get that right, you know the women. Once you get that baby, it changes you. When you get that baby, it'll change you, buddy. It'll change daddy too, amen. It changes him too, buddy. That baby is a wonderful thing. It's a gift of God.
Yeah.
That's the home, children.
Amen.
Barefooted babies and biscuits, amen. You want to make it real simple? You love the church. You build your life around the church.
Yes.
You work hard, but you love the Lord. You build your house around Christ. You have a devotion. That's what it is.
Amen.
Jessica came down the altar. She was praying. Buffy was with her. And she talked a little bit sad. Buffy prayed with her. And she said, no, Mama, I missed. Then she called. She said, Dad? She wouldn't say that Jesus saved her. You know, and so what do I need to do? I said, leave her alone. Mm-hmm.
Let's try.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
Don't tell her she's saved.
Right.
That's
right.
Love, buddy.
The Holy Ghost.
Yeah. So about a week or two later, she called me. She said, Daddy, Jessica, don't say nothing about the Lord no more. Did I do wrong? I should have said something to her. Jessica, don't say nothing about the Lord no more. Well, then a good family, my son-in-law and him, he's a preacher, they have evening devotions. And the TV was
pow, pow. Amen.
Until YouTube football come on, then it came back up. Are you going to throw that thing down there, or are you going to watch football here today? She said, I said, you're his unbelievable. Are you going to either not know? What are you going to do? Well, he was an all-state football player, you know, and he also had a college degree to go play ball. You know, that's how it really was. You know. I had two all-staters in there. Both of them became preachers.
Amen.
Both of them became preachers. One of them finished school down at Temple when Brother Dr. Robinson was there. They went down there for them finished school. I had the other finish in the Bible Institute that we started and everything else. Oh, what wonderful day. What wonderful day. And I say to you tonight, all the old timers I've raised up with and all of them are still gone right now. I want to tell you young people that you can do it again. You can step in the church.
That's
you can
right.
do the same thing. But you've got to come our way. You've got to come like we did. You've got to come and give your life to God. You've got to surrender it all to the Lord. You've got to do just like we did. You've got to lock, stock, and barrel. Throw it down, buddy, and follow Christ with all your heart. Love it. Love him and live for him.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen. I like it.
Okay. It's devotion time. He said, now read. It's Jessica's time to read. They looked over there and she's crying. She said, Jessica, what's wrong? She said, I want to be saved. Jessica got to lead her to the Lord, Mama and Daddy did it. Oh, ain't that wonderful?
Amen.
Mama and Daddy led her to the
yes.
Lord. They, what they don't better than that is a preacher than families in the church. Mamas and daddies leading their children to Christ and loving the church. That's what church is all about. That's what families, you as have a altar of my sin over there, didn't you, when they were in captivity? He told them, he said, talk to me about a new while we're over here in captivity. He said, build your houses, bear a heritage, and beg for peace.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is build you some habits while this Babylonian system is going on. Build your habitation, build your house. Bear children for a heritage that might be able to turn our country around.
Amen.
And then beg for the peace of our country. Pray for them that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. Too, you know?
Yes.
Amen.
That's
how simple it is. Quit making it so complicated. It's simple. Simple. Get your head out of that stinking television. Don't listen to this world. Right. What it's got to say about it. It's messed up. It's messed up.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
You got it. Amen.
This is you, big man.
Right.
The whole wide world, he wants me to preach like that. You know when I announced my call to preach? No Indian name. Ed Ballou. He wasn't from India. He was from the hills of Cherokees. The Cherokee. Boy, he'd be in trouble in this day of coronavirus and slobbering.
Yeah.
6'8". Preach that night on lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God.
Come on, man.
Preach on what's the more in your life.
Right.
What do you love more than God? What do you love more than God? What is the more in your life? There's about 12 of us sitting up there. I was on that seat and he come over to me, brother. He, I was on the end, he knew the first one. It's Dr. Vages when he first started. He'd ask me, so are you right with God? I said, yeah, brother. He's not on the end. He's coming down through there and he's talking about it. You got to me, brother? No, I ain't. I said, yes, brother, Ed. Now I'm 37 years old. I had pretty good shape then. And I could handle it. Then I can't tell. Some boys don't be messing with me. I'm an old man. Yeah, I got a nickel out of it. He said, brother, Donnie. I said, yes, brother, Ed. Are you right with God? No, brother. Get it right.
Amen.
Amen.
But what they do, get it right.
Yeah.
You know what I did?
Got it right.
I got down on my knees. I started crawling to the altar. I crawled all the way up there. And I laid down. I started weeping. I said, oh God, I know what you want, God. I know what you want, oh God. I give it to you. I surrender. I commit. I know you want me to preach.
Amen.
And I got up and I looked at my brother, which is my cousin, which was assistant director of Rock Parade at that time. I said, Brother Bill, I said, God's called me to preach. And I'm sorry, fellas, but them old women in there, they acted so crazy. Oh, Miss Tuck, she's sitting there. Woo! My goodness, if you really love the Lord, that ought to excite
yeah.
you. Yeah. Yeah. Preacher, I'd rather be the preacher than president.
Yes, sir.
I've got a better position with God
president's got with God. I can talk to a living God that's got power to do anything in this world.
Hallelujah.
I wish you'd preach the Bible, Brother Harvey. I can't do that. I ain't never done it in my life. Only time I ever done it when I pastored. Well, you can't preach like this together when you're pastoring. My goodness, I just got one shot tonight, bud.
It's right.
You know? There's a revival. It might just sit in for a while. You think you can get it overnight? You can't get revival overnight.
No.
It takes a little while to get together. You keep on doing like you're doing this week. And old brother said, ain't no telling us what God might do. Just say, don't tell us what God might do. If you seek after him and thirst after him and hunger after him, buddy, he'll show up, buddy.
Yes.
He'll show up. Yes. He'll work in you, but you must seek him. You must seek him.
Yes. Amen.
You know why old Jesus was afraid to draw the sword, don't you? He asked him, he said, who was those men at the table? He said, they were broken men. And Zabinah, so they just slew those broken men. And he said, but they were just like you, though, Gideon. Born like you, had the same one. Just like you. But they were broken. Now, Lucy, and then he said to him again, three things. I said, what kind of man do you want to be? He said, as you are, so are we going to be. As you are, that's what I want to be like you, Billy. As they are, I want to be like you. And as he is, I want to be a man like Gideon, a warrior. I'll be able to bear the sword, not fear to draw the sword. Gideon wasn't fearful to draw that sword, but that boy Gideon was, or Jethro was, yet he was a youth. He feared to draw the sword. He feared to draw the sword of God's word. To stand and teach that Bible and preach it in the pulpit, preach it out on the streets. When you know what can happen to you right now, if you preach that word of God, you can go into jail, you can get in trouble because you're talking about hate things. You preach on hell or you preach on sodomy, you can't go into prisons no more and preach on a sodomite, they'll sue you. Where in the world did a prisoner get the right to sue you?
Right. Come on.
Drawing that sword. I want to draw that sword. Then he said, as his strength is, so it'll be to you. What's it going to take to stop you? What's it going to cause you to stop? Is it some whip or somebody that said something to you? Is it something that might happen to you all the time? And you've done the sword and you've done the word of God and something happened. What's it going to take to stop you and get you to quit, to throw the sword down or afraid to bear it? Because you're going to have problems. When you have that sword in your hand, young man, that's what I talk about. We hold the spear, let him come and fetch it. That spear is a work of man for a young man. It's with a cause. But with the sword, he said, don't be afraid to draw the sword and preach it as this preacher does.
Yeah.
Stand up there and preach it. Thus saith the Lord. This is what the Bible says. And I'm glad my strength will be and what that's going to take me to stop. And then he told him, he said, you do like I do. When he went over with those, and they were surrounding those Midianites, and they broke the pitchers and the lights come. And he said, you watch what I do. He said, well, my brother, they followed him. You do as I do. The man of God is setting the example for you. That man of God is setting the example for you. He's holding that sword up. He's preaching that book. And everything is coming against him. What's it going to take to stop him?
Are you going to live an example? Is he going to live an example for you? I believe Brother Brian lives an example before all those men. I believe Brother Hill lives an example before the Lord. But do you fear to draw the sword because that he was just yet a youth? There's a fear for a young man. He's just a youth. I preached this message. I didn't preach it like tonight. I preached it to a big outfit. I won't mention their names. It's a big one down in Texas. And I preached to 30 preachers at that fellowship that day. I said, the fear for you all to draw the sword is on you. They were big men too. We got men now that's in great positions afraid to draw that sword preacher.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to hide in front of them. Because it's going to cost them, is it not, Brother Brian?
Yeah. That's right.
It's going to cost you to stand up preaching nowadays.
Right, that's right. Yeah. Right.
And you know, I won't hope you're not going to be one that'll betray your preacher. You know, you'll sit there in a pew, but you go out the door and betray him. You know, you might take the sock with him at the supper table, but who at this table is going to betray me?
Right. Right.
Yes.
Hey.
Who's going to betray me? Yes. Two steps beyond offensive. Offended, betrayal, hate. Offended first, betrayal second. Third thing is hate.
Right.
You see such hate? Violence?
Right.
We're in a time, young man, I'm sorry, we're in a time that you must draw that sword if you're going to do it. I know you're young. You draw that sword with God's hand on you. With God's power, Jesus means abundance. You've got everything there is. You've got all that there is. You've got some of the best clothes. You've got some of the best houses. You got every car. You got everything in the world. You can't say you've been deprived. You can't say you go over where they're starving. They don't have a thing. You've got it all. And all that abundance has called you to be.
Listen, buddy. I sure like you, but you let me please.
Yeah.
Your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Be a man.
Amen.
Amen.
Be a man.
Amen, brother. Yes.
Be a man for how much you whip you want. Well, we still got the spirit. I don't know if anybody come to God first of the week. But I've laid another down for you. Who's going to get the sword? Who's going to come hold and get a hold of this book? When my daddy died, I wanted his mantle. You know, Elijah went out, he dropped his mantle, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know what I think that was? A King James Bible.
Amen.
That's what I thought that mantle was. When my daddy died, he dropped his mantle. 1611 King James Bible. I know all that, but they're more familiar with that. Okay?
Yeah, I like
that. 1611 King James Bible.
Yeah.
And guess what happened? I went over and picked it up.
Yeah.
I picked it up and I went over to the Jordan and I didn't say, where's daddy? I didn't ask where mama was at. I said, where is the Lord God of my daddy?
Yeah.
Where is the Lord God of his mother? Where are you, God? And the waters turned back, you know. And I went across, and them little squeaky preachers on the other side of them, the sons of the prophet, they were watching me come across, amen. And they got over there, and they took them, and they started building the church, amen. Well, they were counting that timber down. They started building a church. They're building a church.
Amen.
Did anybody want to come and pick up the sword? You young men, do you fear to be a man of God? Do you fear? You ought to have a sense of fear, but you ought to fear God.
Right. Right.
Don't fear man. I told you last night.
that I do like this, and I go out the door, and I say, why do you act like that? Won't you preach what you got? I've done this for 30-something years. But I know one thing, that God's with you all here in this thing. That's what the whole key is.
Yes.
It ain't me. It's for us to keep on pleading with you, pleading with you.
Yeah.
You say, why not pleading with you? There's got to be a place in your life where you get Jesus in your life. I believe that place, you'll know it. You'll know where Christ saves you. But I believe there's also a place of absolute surrender. That was written, was it? What's his name? He wrote on absolute surrender. Anyway, it's a book on absolute surrender. Murray. It took me 6 months, but it took me 2 years or so. My first 2 years after I started preaching, all I'd do is cry. I'd just run around and cry. Run around and ask, what's wrong with me? I don't know what's wrong with me. I'd just cry. And then going out, I'd get in the prayer room of my home church. I had a key to that church, and I'd go out there to church every morning, every night. I'd pray every evening, every morning. Then my house got on fire one time. My sin and the deck of fire with a grease fire. And the preacher said, it hurt. They said, I don't know where Donnie's at. That preacher said, I know where he's at. I know where he's at. Do they know where you're at? On the times of where you have a place of prayer, I know that many have gotten saved at old-fashioned Galahar Road. They said, I went by here many times, and I've seen you in there in that prayer room. I've watched you laying in there at altar. I thought I'd just come by and see what's going on and happens. So they walk in, and guess who gets up? Guess who gets up? Amen. It ain't you. It's God's power. It's God's power. He's able to pull them down. He's able to convict them. Amen. So I act this way all the time.
Praise the Lord.
And if you'll just keep it up what you're doing in this week.
All right.
Just keep on seeking the Lord.
Yes, amen.
You'll come around on me. I've seen a lot of preachers kill things like that too, brother. I was preaching for a man up on top of a mountain in New York, North Carolina. He came out from under J. Frank Norris. He was Norris's preacher. He had a camp up on that mountain. And I was preaching up on Romans 12. And I was preaching on transformation. You know, and I actually preached a lot of the Bible that week, so I guess that's why I got another view. And one night, I come up there, and like you said, the Holy Ghost just keeps telling you things. All day long, I had this song in my heart. I lift my cup, Lord, I raise it up, Lord. Come and heal the thirsting of my soul.
Yes.
Child of heaven, feed me till I want no more. I raise it up. I thought it's not all day. He said, Brother Harvey, just keep on playing, brother. He said, my son will be here tonight, and he'll sing for us. And he came out that night, and he said, I've had this song on my heart all day long.
Amen.
And he started to sing that song, and son, he got to testify. He got to act a little crazy like me.
Come on.
He got to testify. Talking about the Lord, just to testify.
Amen.
Like some of you are trying to do. Some of you think it's a mess what you get up and say. It might be. But get up and say something about him.
Yes.
Get up and talk about him a little bit.
Amen.
Tell about it. Testify about him. When he got done seeing, man, God's all over it. He come up there to me and he said, Brother Harvey, he won't do that again. I'm sorry for him to act in that way.
He's the pastor. I guarantee you, Brother John, you won't be sorry for any of them that want to get up and talk about the Lord.
Right.
I'll never be sorry about any one young person or anybody that wants to testify about God, even you all. We've lost because of all the stuff that comes into your church. You worry about what's going to get up, and it will. Remember old timer said that a real fire will put out wildfire. Amen. Real fire put it out. I've seen them jump up and want to say something, go on with it, and all right. Them babies do. They'll shut up. Yeah, right before they go out the door. Yeah. But when that real fire is there, buddy, son,
yes,
that fire glows.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
So that week, you know who the piano player was for him? Oliver B. Green's secretary. He was there to Oliver B. Green's secretary. She played that thing. You know what it was? She played that. And she was there. She got that altar, that one girl that got saved that night. Son, it got on. They were crying. They were happy. They were taking it. He couldn't get them in bed. They were down there, they were having a time. They got happy, you know what I mean? They were going to get them in bed. And he told me the next morning, Brother Williams, I'm taking them home. They don't need to be acting like that. Going on, we're not having this morning service. I said, my goodness, man. I didn't say nothing to him. I went home. He done invited me back. If he takes it back, I'll tell you the name of God. He invited me back. Hey, I'm not getting out of the old time way, brother.
Amen.
We've got nothing but a bunch of dead churches. We've got a bunch of young people that's afraid to glorify God. They're afraid to show embarrassed or speak in flesh. They're afraid to say hallelujah. And some of you boys ain't got enough gut in you to say amen. You ain't got enough to get on the front seat and say amen, God. Amen, Lord. Let it go. Praise, preacher. Praise, preacher. Praise, preacher.
Yes.
We lost it. You ain't changing me. I'm walking in the old paths. I'm walking in where Brother Chad, the devil that we saw, go to the mountains and call out God. Get to the altar and pray all night long and seek the Lord and have a grudge in their soul. We got enough of little Jethers.
Right. That's right, brother. Yes, sir.
Do you know that song? Fill my cup, Lord, I raise it up. Say it now. That's it. That's it.
Amen. Yeah.
Anybody know it? Help me. What's going on here with the young people? These preachers are pleading with you. Give everything you got to God. Everything. It took me two years or so before I fully surrendered. I'll tell another story, but I got to. My daughter's dead with cancer. She died. And so who did the girl and mom who's at a meeting? And we prayed over an hour and a half before the meeting started. We just come into the building, went straight to the altar. Everybody just going, hundreds of people. Went straight to the altar. And just prayed. And it wasn't all real, just rumbling and crying. Praying. And every once in a while, someone would get up and just shout. And someone would get over here and shout. Someone would get up. But it seemed like all of a sudden God just said, and I went up there just come up one night.
Yes.
You ever seen 100, 200 people come up off the altar like that? And my little daughter, Shannon, is gone now. She's 46 when she died. She stood on that piano, brother, and she's just a crying. Now, she's little. And when they get that way, those kids, they'll just cry. They're not scared. They'll just cry. One of the most wonderful things. Here about 10 years ago, Tyler is our son now. Tyler was going old for mom and dad. A lot of things to talk about that. She was taken into a camp meeting down in Georgia. Brother Moore, he's got a camp down there. And she called me up. She said, Dad, you know that night with her at camp meeting when the Lord came through there at 12 years old? I said, yeah. I wouldn't time to see that. Mama, Daddy, do you want your little girl to get in a place like that? With a picture of this, sir. You've got to manifest it. They watch you. They watch Mama. They watch Daddy. They see you crying, they'll crawl right up under you. They'll crawl right up on, Mama, you're so dead, you're so backed up, you got to sit there like that, you got so much stink of pride, you can't get down on the altar too, you can't crawl down there, get on the altar, mourn before God.
Amen.
So while as I see him weeping on the altar, some more and more, what did I get up right for? Fill my cup, Lord. I raise it up, Lord.
Yeah.
Come and fill the thirst in my soul. Feed me till I want no more.
Yes.
That can happen for this week out if you just won't go out the door and forget it.
That's right.
You go back to wherever you're at and get a hold of God like I tell you. In the old meetings when I led, we didn't go and lay down. We'd stay up and pray all night long. We'd go back to where it was at, and we'd pray, and then we'd fellowship about God, anticipating the next morning to come in the house of God, looking to sing and worship, and preach the word of God together, and be together, and let God do something in our heart. You better want Him. You better thirst for Him. You better seek Him. You can't just go home, lay down, and go to bed. I ask for His power.
Amen.
And I'm going to do my best to be still when you get to honor God. Because when you start doing that, it just stirs me up unbelievably.
Right.
The preacher too. We just want to get in on it with you. All right.
Amen.
We wouldn't get out to 11 at 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
And then you'd find them laying around on the walls, crying on God. You'd have to go by there, but you can't let me lay down on the walls with the cry. I want to do the serve the Lord. I want God my life. I didn't be crying ever so much. I didn't just keep going. He'll do the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Brother, that's the way. Right now, listen to me. There are means of where we are now. You want to leave, don't you? I want to leave. We're tired of going home and everything else. Everybody said, tired of going home and getting up. Hey,
If you're going to get anything from God, you're going to have to pay the price. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to get it to the Lord. You just can't pray with God. You can't say, I want it, and then walk out the door. You've got to struggle with it. Spurgeon said, give me the art of wrestling with God, that I might have his power. Wrestling with God. Wrestling with God.
You know what's doing me prisoners, don't you? I don't do it like I used to. But I've come this way. Me preaching like I do now. God said, you better get back to where you were. And somebody might have rather have Jesus like his son this morning.
Amen.
I've seen the invitation go for hours. Young people be singing, I'd rather have Jesus, I'd rather have Jesus. It'll be all over the hour. You remember, don't you, men, older? You remember your beginning? You remember your beginning? It's got to be the same for these kids, and they're going to be no different. They're going to have to come the same way. God's got one way of coming. That's when you come with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, that you want God to take your life and use you. You want to have full control of you. You want everything. I used to get up. I wouldn't even take my wrong shirt. I said, you want to go that way? You want to go that way, God? You want to go that way, God? You know? I wish I wouldn't even come and get in the car. Which way you want me to go? That's where I was, you know? Them kids were so sensitive. They wouldn't drink Pepsi's. They wouldn't drink nothing, you know? They get it out of the fire. If it wasn't God, if it was, how was it? He said, I didn't know anything ain't wrong. He said, everything's soon. It meant what you do. You had nothing right. Everything was wrong. Where you look, what you walk, where you went, where you spit, where you come, you hurt, everything else, you know.
Amen.
It'd be all right. It wouldn't hurt you at all to get that way.
Yes, sir.
It wouldn't hurt you at all to make sure everything you do, when you walk out the door, what you're going to say, where you're going to go, how you're going to act, what you're going to look like, where you're going to go. That won't hurt you a bit, amen.
Right.
That won't hurt you a bit.
Amen.
You got to quit. It's hard for us to do it. You see what bothers Brother John, don't you? It's hard to quit when you act like this.
Amen. Right. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Come on.
I ain't got 3 points in a poem. Amen. That's why I only preach on God. 3 points in a poem.
Amen.
I ain't trying to perform. I'm trying to praise. Amen.
Yes.
I'm not trying to terrorize your ears. I'm trying to tell you, God wants your heart. God wants your heart. And you got to come and give it to him. Amen.
Yes. That's right.
You want some good instructions? Go up there. He'll teach you how to live for God.
Amen.
In the mornings, let me pray so we can go, so y'all can do something.
All thy heart, all thy mind.
Yes.
All thy strength.
Amen.
Amen. Then we'll pray. Lord, I know you know what I'll do when I walk out the door. And I don't want to fail you, and I don't want to cause anything to keep these kids from getting to Jesus. And maybe some needs to get saved, and maybe they need to see and hear what our brother said this morning. He finally come to that place that he gave it to you. And it's now their opportunity in this meeting, even so, as Brother Brian said, now is the day of salvation. Today, at this moment, you don't know if you walk out that door.
Yes.
You don't know what's waiting on you. It might be that you rejected the call of God to come. Then there might be a preacher. There's one sitting here. God's called them to preach, and they won't surrender to it. They won't come and give herself to God and say, here I am, Lord, and give herself to you. God, let the meeting this week turn out to when they walk away, and I want them to say, what happened to you there? He said, God spoke to my heart.
touch me. Touch me. I don't want to preach on that, but maybe you'll touch a heart in this time as they come. And I pray that people could just wait a little bit. Could you just wait a little while, wait on the Lord? It might take a week here just waiting, worshiping, taking the Word of God and preaching and praying. And Lord, you'll do something in our hearts if we'll do that. I pray that you'd help the rest of the meeting and the matter of way as we sit in fellowship with Brother Brian. What a wonderful time we've been having. I thank you for the things that I've listened and you can tell me about and inform me on things. Lord, these other men that are here are greater, better preachers than me. I listen to their words and I listen to how they speak. And then I talk to them about the Word of God, and they're the same in the way. The Word is only one way. So help us now. And may these young people sacrifice their time tonight, not just throw this off and say, well, I've showed up. But may we do as they asked us, Brother Taylor and Brother McVeigh, that when you go back or go home or wherever it's at, that they'll just take some time and talk to you, as that preacher said. Spend a little time in the mornings with God and ask Him to move in our hearts. You ask Him, you shall receive. So forgive me if I failed you, Lord. I'm sorry. Thank you for the reception. It's such a way that they were speaking to me here. It's not been this way for a while. All I've found is rebellion. All these preachers too in deadness. But there's a receiving together here. And there's a listening. So we wait on you. Use the remaining time and the things that we do tomorrow. If tomorrow may come, God, it might not come. There's some sitting here tomorrow might not come. Today is the day. And we'll praise you for what you do. Amen.
Well, I remember. Now listen. 10 o'clock at night, and there are some people who must go home now. Yeah. You're one of them.